eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to Family Feud, part of the Paris Style podcast family. They might not be brother and sister, but they sure do fight like they are. Here's your hosts, Healy Yore and Shotgun Spratling.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Feud podcast. I'm your host, Keely Orr, joined by Shotgun Spratling and cousin of the pod, Chris Trevino. We have another good show for you guys today. We're talking about week three of USC spring camp. We'll share our takes and observations, and we'll give our thoughts ahead of USC's 2021 spring game, spring showcase. Not sure which one we're going to go with. I guess we can decide that after we see it. I think how they play will determine that. But like always, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also send us questions or submissions to the show at familyfeudpod@gmail.com, or you can tweet at Shotgun on Thursdays. We got a couple tweets from you guys, so excited to answer your questions. But first off, let's start with our classic segments of Stock Up, Stock Down. Shotgun Spratling, who do you got?
Well, if I'm going to start, first off, I'm going to start with spring game because I think it's going to be an actual game.
Oh,
that wasn't on my list, but the first guy that came to mind when I was thinking about Stock Up is Jaden Williams. I think the cornerback, he's reserve cornerback, and Chris Steele comes back, so he's bumped down to the second team. But he had a pick six against Mo Hassan. He had another pick on Tuesday in the practice we saw. I think that he is taking his game to another level, and I think that's a big positive because there were some questions about that depth after Chris Steele, after Isaac Taylor Stewart. Who's going to be in there? Can it be an actual competition? And I think the early signs from Jaden Williams and from Joshua Jackson tell me, yeah, if someone's not, you know, on their P's and Q's, then Dante Williams is not afraid to, you know, make a move and bench somebody for a game. So I think those guys are putting a little bit more pressure on Chris Steele, and that's something that, you know, we heard from Dante Thursday morning, and he said, you know, that he's always going to be looking for competition. You know, someone asked him about the starting spot on the other side, basically away from Chris Steele, and he's like, what are you talking about? There's two spots are open, and there's always going to be two spots open. So I think the early signs from Jaden Williams and Joshua Jackson, really positive developments there. And one of the things that Dante Williams said today about Jaden Williams, and he said this about Chris Steele as well, he said, you know, previously it was, you know, they were playing 50% mental, 50% physical. He said that he wants them to play 90% mental and know exactly what they're doing and just be 10% physical so that they're not grabbing as much. They're not trying to use their bodies. They're using their head first and then being able to make a play on the ball with that last 10%.
And you can see Dante in practice kind of, you can tell that he's working on that aspect with both of them. I saw Dante pull aside both of them at certain times during practices and kind of talk to them one-on-one. And it seems like he's just trying to really instill, like, hey, calm down a little bit. Like, because they both get a little chippy. So I think it's interesting that he noted that.
And to comment on your playmaking breakdowns, he also almost had another pick when the ball was tipped and it just came off his hands in a team period. And Jaden was always a really interesting take in that class, I'm blanking, 2019 class that he came in, because he was kind of a late bloomer in the recruiting sense. He had some trouble academically. And then right at the end, USC, Oregon, with where Dante was, who offered him, and Washington all offered him in a span of like a couple days. So big trio Pac-12 teams trying to get him late in that recruiting cycle because it looked like he was going to be able to get in somewhere. So Dante knows what he was getting when he signed on to USC and saw him on the roster.
There were also some questions about him coming out of high school. Was he a tweener? you know, where exactly did he fit in it position-wise? Was he a safety? Did you need to, you know, bulk him up and play him at the linebacker position? Similar to Stephen Amore, both those guys coming from Corona Centennial, it was a question of where exactly do they fit on the field? And I think both of them have found a home now. And Jaden Williams, I think there were still questions about that coming into the spring, but he's definitely took some big strides, and, you know, cornerback seems to be a spot where he can stay.
I don't know about you guys, but I think he's a little bit slimmer. He looks a little quicker.
My body comps have been really off just because haven't seen anyone close, and we're at different angles. So I feel like I can't, like, truly compare.
I would agree with that.
Her or me?
Her. Since Keely and I are used to being on the sideline and seeing them.
Yeah.
And so you guys don't use binoculars, too.
Try not to. Try to use these eyes.
Since we're talking about cornerbacks, I guess I'll keep it in the defensive back family. And I had stock up for Kalen Bullock, the freshman safety. He had two picks on Tuesday. Really nice picks. One was in the one-on-one drills. He's just so long and lengthy. And, you know, we've talked about how he needs to add weight to his frame because he is a slender dude. But just incredibly long, and that's how the first pick came down. He was just all over the dude, and he's been really impressive in one-on-ones. I feel like he has the best win-loss percentage out of the freshmen that because I've been tracking them all year. I feel like he only has one loss against him, but so long, just smothered the guy and grabbed the pick. I don't remember who was on, maybe John Jackson, and then he had another one on 7-on-7, which you guys had a better look of. And his only real ding on Tuesday was he gave up the touchdown on that really nice Jackson Dart play at the end, but it was still really nice coverage, and it was just a better catch by the senior tight end Eric Kromenhoek. And you saw, I believe it was Nivar, come up to him after and like give him a little bit of coaching, or someone did. So to, you know, probably to say, hey, move on, good coverage, do this better next time, and then move on. So I think he's actually having a nice little ascension with that among those freshman safeties and Anthony Beavers, Xavion, Xamarion Gordon, and Bullock.
Yeah, I think that he's a guy that's making a lot of plays. I do have a question. Once you get into the full tackling drills and you get into a season that and you're practicing, and if you're tackling every day rather than having an extra day off, how does his body hold up? And that's the, you know, the big part of him adding weight. You know, he's got really thin legs right now, which, you know, isn't really that big of a concern, but the bigger concern is the shoulders, because I think back to someone, he reminds me body-wise of Isaiah Polamalu coming out of high school. And Isaiah Polamalu takes the big hit from Ronald Jones, you know, basically breaks his shoulder and is out for the rest of the season. So I get concerned about guys, you know, that play that position, you know, with that body frame, just because, you know, when you get someone, say it's Marquis Stepp coming downhill and you're trying to tackle that guy, you know, and suddenly you have an arm injury or shoulder injury. So that's a concern for me, and that's why, one of the reasons why he's still got to add some weight. But definitely he's making some plays so far, so I think that's a big positive sign. And like you said, looks like he may be taking a little bit of a step forward from the rest of that group that's come in.
And I don't think many people expected, given that he needed to put on weight, that he would be kind of trending ahead of some of the other guys.
So I had Kenai Mauga on stock up. I think he's a guy who, after we finished recording last week on Saturday, he stood out to me, and he's just a guy who I keep writing down. I think he's come along. I think he's definitely improved, and he's a guy who I think was definitely hurt by having that hamstring injury at the start of training camp. I think he was learning on the fly during the season. And so now, you know, we hear a lot from the defensive coaches talking about how, like, hey, we didn't really have a spring to install and instill our culture. And training camp wasn't even a real training camp. We were focusing on the opponent. So now I feel like this is the time where you're seeing guys like Kenai Mauga really start to make those leaps. And not only on the field, but I think off the field too. I've seen him when the second team's up, when other guys are doing things, he's behind them, vocal, yelling at them. And so I think that's it's a good step forward for leadership for Kenai as well.
I think that it's the thing that has impressed me most so far about him is the sideline to sideline aspect of it. He's making some plays, running backs catching the ball and swing passes. And even a guy like Keyonte Ingram, a guy that has been super elusive, been the most elusive of the running backs, I think that Kenai has made a couple nice plays being out in space against him and making that play. And that's one of the areas where he has struggled in the past, especially early last year as he was coming back from that hamstring injury. So he's a guy that I considered for my list. There were several players. There's a lot of guys that I feel like are going to stock up this week. You know, just a lot of good vibes around the practice.
Good vibes.
I feel like, you know, there's a lot of positivity coming off practice. Not a lot of guys you're looking at just like, this guy's not making any plays. This guy is not happening. So one of the stock ups I had was the practice plans. Yes. I think the fact that they've changed some things up, it's something we've called for, you know, several times in the past years, you know, more particularly during the season if things are not going, you know, the way you want them to. But I think they've done a really good job of mixing things in, different drills, you know, doing the Trojan drill to start the first two full padded practices. You know, this past Tuesday, throwing in the, you know, the goal line situation with the 4-on-4 where you have three guys block, you know, three blockers trying to take on three defenders, and then, you know, running back trying to make it into the end zone with a, you know, a secondary defender coming up to try to make that tackle. I thought that was a really good, and it changed the vibe of the entire practice. It, yeah. You know, you just felt the energy really rise from there, and that led in the way. Not only did it, you know, was an energy boost for the rest of practice, but it was also leading into their goal line and short yardage situation. So it was a really fitting transition there. So I think their practice plans have been really good so far this spring. So got to give the coaching staff credit for that. You know, I know some people out there don't want to hear any positives about this coaching staff, but Clay Helton, you know, definitely the practice plans have been very good so far this spring.
In that same vein, I had organic competitiveness. It sounds like your culture creation from last week.
I feel like this is going to be more expensive at the grocery store.
It is. It's Whole Foods.
Yeah, we're in a Whole Foods right now.
Yeah, we're in a Whole Foods. Annoying. Not culture creation, organic competitiveness. Find it at your local Whole Foods. No, I just think, I mean, every Clay Helton practice that we've been allowed to see, I've almost seen all of them. And we've seen the fake rah-rah. We've seen the, hey, let's start practice off high energy, and then it just trails off. You know, even spring camp sometimes felt like they were just going through the motions and like trying to get practice done with. And now it feels like they really want to be out there and they really want to be competitive about it. I don't want to go into my Herdits, but you can tell that the players are definitely fired up, and it's an organic thing coming from them and not like, hey, I want to impress my coach by acting a certain way that I think he'll like. You know what I mean? It's just like, I want to rip this guy's head off and win this battle. Maybe not as aggressive as that, but you can tell that they definitely want their side of the ball to win whatever drill comes up for that practice day. So it's fun to watch as a reporter.
And that's what it takes to become a more elite team. I'm not going to say they'll become elite, but you know, that's the old Pete Carroll, win the day, you know, competition every period. You're seeing more and more of that. So I think it's a very positive sign.
I mean, if we're doing Whole Foods stuff, I have artisanal tackling.
What does that entail?
That's just a joke.
Oh, it's just that's a funny bit. I like it. Great bit.
I don't have any, yeah, this $12 pound, whatever you guys are selling over here, but I have a Dijon Benton.
So you have some Dijon.
A little Dijon. It is in the grocery store. Oh, dang it. Okay. Artisanal Dijon Benton.
There you go.
Well done.
I mean, it's not like a huge stock up, but this week on Tuesday, I noticed he was in this, I guess just the whole last couple of weeks, I've noticed that he's been making a lot of plays, getting a lot of reps. I expect him to get more reps now that you have, you know, Jacob Lichtenstein dealing with the back tweak on rehab island. Brandon Peely is obviously down for the count. So you need some guys to step up. And I kind of like the development we're seeing with him. Hopefully you can get some more out of him in the season. I know when he first came, when he first enrolled, we noticed that he was making some plays early in fall camp, and then he kind of fell off. We never really got to see him make a strong impact during the season. So maybe this year is the year we kind of get a mini breakout from Benton as a rotational player. I don't think he's going to start or anything, but if they can get some good minutes and reps out of him this season, I think that'll be good overall for the defensive line. And you know, the guy just makes plays. Sometimes in the right spot, makes some big hits, thumping his chest over guys. So I like what Mr. Benton is doing so far in spring.
I mean, 2019, he was a guy that jumped over some people on the depth chart, which was surprising to us because he was such a last-minute addition to the recruiting class. Literally, we had no idea who he was when it was added. It was,
except for Brandon Huffman.
Well, on our side, that's why we obviously went to Brandon, you know, the Bay Area guru, the Pacific Northwest. You know, who is this guy? What do we need to know? Because it was someone that USC hadn't been very active and just made a late offer, similar maybe to Josh Fatu, you know, a couple of seasons prior when they grabbed him from Long Beach College. And Josh Fatu ended up having a really successful couple of years at USC. I think Dijon Benton was a guy who said, Maybe they're on that same track there. But last year, it seemed like the new coaching staff, he was not in favor with them. So, you know, he kind of fell down the depth chart. It's good to see him rising back up because he has some unique athleticism at that position. And I think that's what we're seeing this fall. You know, he's doing the right things. The coaches are seemingly trusting him more, and we're seeing that athleticism pop a little bit.
Pop quiz. Do you remember what team he was committed to that he flipped from?
Washington State.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
You win nothing.
Which would be similar to Hercules Maataafa. If you remember, you know, when USC lost at Washington State, the game that Keeley remembers very vividly.
How dare you?
Hercules had a huge game in there, just, you know, destroying USC with his quickness at the defensive tackle. And that was part of the reason why they were recruiting him. So we're seeing that quickness. And USC, one of the things that's interesting is seeing that Vic Soto is using different body types and different skill sets. And you're seeing them allowing their skill sets to excel, rather than forcing them into a, you know, pigeonholing them and saying, hey, you need to do this. You're saying, okay, if you're quick and fast, then use that, rather than trying to use a bull rush or whatever it may be. So I think that's an interesting tidbit there, because Vic Soto, you know, it continues to get the most out of that group so far.
I think that's why that group has been so interesting to watch, because it's just, I feel like every day you're noticing a new guy and you're like, oh, that was a good play. And like, it's not just, hey, it's Drake Jackson and the Drake Jackson show. It's like they're really utilizing their guys to their best ability so far, or at least moving them around. And that sense,
Go ahead.
I had Tuli Tuivalotu on stack up.
Because you mentioned Drake Jackson. I was going to say I had Drake Jackson on mine because he's a guy that we've expected to make big plays. And it's been like, when's it going to come? When's it going to come? This week, he's been all over the place. He nearly had another batted interception. Mm-hmm. You know, the offensive lineman can't stop him right now. So he's taking his game to another level.
Well, that batted interception, it was Tuli and Drake mm-hmm. Jackson just bam, right there in Keen's face. So those are some dangerous guys. And I know we got to talk to Seth Dagey this week, and he called Tuli. He was like, he's just a freak. So when USC's tight end coach is noticing a defensive lineman, I feel like that's kind of notable there. So, you know, he was a guy who during fall press conferences, we would hear the older guys go, hey, Tuli, that guy. And so when you hear the older guys kind of mark a young guy, that's when you got to keep your eye out. And I think he's built off of that freshman season he had.
Not just Marlon's little brother this year.
Nope.
I also had Drake Jackson's unblockability as stock up. Mm-hmm. And I think your show title, Drake Jackson and the Drake Jackson Show, needs work.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. A little redundant. Okay. So maybe workshop that.
He's visual bidding right now as well.
The Drake Jackson 5?
See, that's a show.
Well, that's when you get Mike Jack and Man Jack and Jack Drake.
I forgot what the sentence is already.
and they all do gymnastics.
Well, yeah, we did see Drake Jackson once again break out the, what was it, the back the handspring?
Round off back. Yeah. No, he didn't do hands, right? Did he do hands?
I don't know. It was impressive for a big man.
It was a roundoff backflip. It was a roundoff backflip.
In pads, too.
In full shoulder pads are restricting. That's just unreal to me. Some quick ones for me. I had Jackson Dart on stock up. I thought he took a step forward this week. Saw some creativeness from him. Some playmaking ability that separated him a little bit from the doe-eyed freshman that we've seen for the couple first practices between him and Miller Moss. And then I also had Tua Sivinamora on stock up. We saw some wrinkles on Tuesday, and I think that's all I'm allowed to say, but I thought it was interesting how he's been used sometimes. So
yeah, he's making plays out there, and Jackson Dart, same thing. You're seeing a little bit of that creativity, that little Darnold magic, you know, where he's creating on the run. Don't get excited yet, folks.
Yeah, I was on a radio show and I was like, I'm not gonna say Sam Darnold, but I'm gonna allude to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he just has that playmaking creativity to where when the ball's in his hands, he might do something special. And because of the arm strength that he has, you know, he was able to, you know, he rolled out on a play and he whipped a ball in there and beat Kalen Bullock on a goal line throw. Yeah. When it was a very tight window. But it also, if the ball's not caught, it's not going to be intercepted. If he throws it low, you know, the wide receiver's not catching it. It was basically in a spot where his guy was going to catch it or nobody was going to catch it. And that's what you want in that type of situation in a goal line. And then, you know, USC's run the read option for several years now and not really taking advantage, occasionally run it with a quarterback. And he got a good one on Tuesday and pointed out to the defender that he, you know, made miss, fooled, making him go inside. He let him know a little point.
Thought it was interesting. Jackson Dart also got some praise from Chris Steele this week. I mean, he was asked about both quarterbacks and Miller Moss got praise as well, but he was saying like, yeah, Chris Steele was surprised by his arm strength and how smart he is as a player and competitive for a young guy. So I thought that was interesting.
And Diggy also said he's just effortlessly charismatic.
Which works for a quarterback, I guess.
Yeah, Sam Darnold may actually not, the play is similar to Sam Darnold, but the mentality is similar to like a Johnny Manziel. Now these are all, he's not at that level of any of these guys. But those are the flashes that you're kind of seeing. You know, those are the
personality of Johnny Manziel
on the field.
I would not agree with that.
What? You don't think he'd drop a, you know, a money sign up there?
No, I don't.
Oh yeah,
no.
I don't think it's that much.
Yeah, I don't think that's like a different type of like bravado.
He's not starting yet. Wait till he starts. You're gonna see. Okay. He's gonna drop something.
Yeah, wait. But you're taking that projection. I thought you didn't like hypotheticals. Hmm?
That's not a hypothetical. That's a projection. That's different.
I do notice that he gets really hype when big plays are made, but I'm not seeing him shmoney on anyone.
Yeah, he's not planning.
Not yet.
He's not planning a flag right now.
Yet it's gonna happen.
He's not gonna do.
Oh wait, that was Baker Mayfield. My bad.
Yeah, and that's the type of energy I think he's got.
Yeah, he's got that good energy. That good.
It's going to happen. You see.
Okay,
like,
you heard it here on the
If he
podcast.
Ends up starting later in his career, he's the guy that does something in a rivalry game that everyone remembers. You know, I don't know if it'll be Todd Marinovich style, but, you know, something that people will recall a decade later.
Huh. But any of our listeners that took their Zyrtec spring optimism blocker did not hear anything you just said.
It's okay.
Did not hear Sam Darnold, did not hear Johnny Manziel, they didn't hear any of that.
Nope.
You know, that's good because that's a, you know, it's a good segue into my last stock up, which is, you know, it's not too much optimism, it's cooperation. We saw some cooperation from the USC athletic department and it paid off for them. The basketball team received its the results of the NCAA's investigation into, you know, going all the way back to 2017. This has been going on for a long time. The Tony Bland FBI investigation, him being arrested, him being charged, and later, you know, agreeing to the penalties of, you know, of admitting that he accepted a bribe to try to funnel players to a certain agency. All that comes back, it finally comes out, and other schools have gotten theirs. You know, Oklahoma State is probably the most similar situation. They got a postseason ban. Now they got out of it. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, if that's just on appeal and they're going to have to serve it next year. But USC got no postseason ban, which is the most notable portion of it. They got 2 years probation, which is pretty much nothing, and they had to pay a $5,000 fine, 1% of the program. So it's nothing really, the program's budget, it's nothing really to, you know, it's basically a slap on the wrist. Now, they did some other things. They proactively did some other things. They cooperated with the NCAA as much as they could. One of the big ones was DeAnthony Melton not playing. I still don't agree with that situation, but they also, you know, dropped 2 scholarships for one season. They cut down their recruiting hours. They did some things, self-imposed some penalties, and really cooperated. That was a quote today from the guy from the Committee on Infractions that spoke with the media. You know, they received their recommendation from the NCAA enforcement staff, and then they make a judgment after that. So that's how it kind of works. He said the panel, the Committee on Infractions panel, gives a great deal of reference to the enforcement staff's recommendation with regard to the mitigating factor of exemplary cooperation. That's how they described USC's cooperation. And the enforcement staff works with the school for many months. They go through the investigation together. And he said it's a high bar in his experience to be able to get that recommendation from the enforcement staff. So they take it with a lot of weight. And that's what USC got. So that cooperation helped them to get, you know, a lesser amount of penalties, I believe, than some of the other schools that have been fighting this. Maybe DeAnthony Melton not playing played into that when other schools had players play. Maybe that had a portion to it. I still think that DeAnthony Melton should play because I wanted to see him play for one.
But stock up for USC's admin for coming in and handling that well, because as we all know, USC and Committee on Infractions, those two don't go together well at all. So the fact that USC was able to navigate that well and get that high praise is very notable. Alrighty, let's get into some stock down. I don't have stock neutral this week.
Because it's not a thing.
I didn't want to force it. I probably could have picked one, but stock down. Who you got, Chris?
I have artificial stadium noise.
Hey!
Because as it was announced this week that there will be, or last week, is it this week?
Monday.
It's been a long week that they will be allowing fans for the spring showcase, about 5,000.
Yes.
into the 5,000. Up to 5,000.
We'll see how many show up. That'll be kind of interesting too, because it's kind of a little bit late notice, and I think so many people are going to be interested in showing up that they should be able to pack it out.
I think they'll get there.
You just did like a full circle. You're like, I don't think they'll be able to do it. I think they'll be able to do it.
Classic shotgun circle.
Yep. Say that I didn't think they would be able to. I said I'm curious to see if they will.
Okay.
Well, the players have been asked about it, and they've been pretty excited about to have, you know, real people in the stands, except minus just us up in the booth in a dystopian stadium.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have that injection of fans back. So down on the artificial noise,
which I think is ultimately a stock up, but I'll accept it.
What's a stock up?
That the fan noise is gone. Fans are back and football sounds more normal.
No, he made a stock down. Okay, that's fine. He said it the right way. Let him have his peace.
Thank you. At least I didn't try and turn it into a stock neutral, so you're welcome.
You would try to do something like that. I got stock down. I got offensive arrogance. And this, if you want to spin it, could be a stock up as well. Hmm. Yeah, offensive arrogance, because we're seeing some diversified play calling. You know, we're not saying, well, these six plays are going to work. We just run them the right way every time. It'll work. And we'll figure out a way to make it work. No. You know, if you change some things up and the defense doesn't know what's coming, you know, that makes it easier to run a play. Even if you don't get it exactly right, sometimes it still works there. So I think just the fact that they've shown some different looks this week, we've seen some different play calls, you know, just some diversified action from the playbook. Now, you don't have to widen it out and have a 200-page playbook, but add an extra sheet every once in a while.
Yeah, I actually meant to add that on my stock up. The fact that we saw something different on Tuesday from USC's offense, I think that's an encouraging sign, because like you mentioned on Instant Analysis, Shotgun, up until that point, it was like, we're seeing the same thing. Like, there aren't very many changes. So stock up for that, but also yes on your stock down.
Quit trying to change everything to a stock up, lady.
I'm not trying to.
Come on, lady.
You guys are just twisting the thoughts and the words. I had stock down on Kobe Pepe. He's a guy who was getting time before he injured his shoulder or re-injured his shoulder last Tuesday. And so far, we've only seen him on Rehab Island and on the sidelines with a huge shoulder brace on. So stock down for him. And I mean, just stock down for defensive linemen in general, because we saw Brandon Peely come out on Tuesday, and that from sources, Chris and I, sounds like Brandon will be out for the rest of the year. Which, if you heard last week's podcast, Shotgun went on a very impassioned cry that Brandon Peely needs to step up this season, and yet he's not going to be able to this season, unfortunately. And then I also said Big Lick, Jake Lichtenstein on stock down as well, because he's not practicing. And Caleb Tremblay, we really want to stretch it, because he also is not a full participant, though he was in the Trojan drill on Tuesday. So I don't get how that works out, but...
The 4v4 drill.
Yes.
So... In a very similar vein, I had defensive tackle experience, defensive line, if you want to include Lichtenstein as a tackle there. Just because, you know, you're looking at the guys, and Brandon Peely goes down on Saturday. Lichtenstein went down last week and has kind of been up and down. And he's a guy that we think can make a big jump into the starting lineup potentially, but not practicing full-time. Caleb Tremblay, similar thing. Ishmael Sofscher, a guy that, you know, is an older guy. So it's all young guys right now at those positions. And so you're seeing guys like Dejon Benton get opportunities, and Jamar Sakona, and, you know, Jay Toya. You know, those are the guys you're seeing in there, and they're making the most of it. But when you get to an actual game, you need some experience in there. You know, you're losing Marlon Tuipulotu. You had Jay Tefele 2 years ago. Not having either one of those guys back, you know, those are big losses for them. And you need someone that's going to be able to hold the point of attack, because that's what teams will definitely, you know, force feed the ball right down your throat over and over if you put a young nose tackle out there consistently.
Yeah, I had what you had. I had interior defensive line experience, because Peely was your most experienced guy. He had 38 game appearances, not a lot of starts, just five. I mean, you have guys with other starts on the line. You know, you have Thule, but those aren't true interior guys. And even Ishmael, who's out all spring, he only has one game appearance in his career. He is older, but he doesn't have those live game reps. So that's something USC hopes that he's ready for when time comes. And then, like you said, the young guys, they haven't played a lot either, Kobe and Jamar. So very, very limited now on experience now that Peely is out of the picture.
I wonder now, Lichtenstein and Tremblay are guys that you expect to still be perfectly fine by the fall. But I wonder if you see another injury, if we see some movement with someone going somewhere else. Is there some kind of movement of some, you know, an offensive lineman flipping to the other side, or, you know, what it is, just to add some extra depth for practice, for one?
All I'm going to say is I've heard that. There are rumblings of that.
Rumble, rumble, rumble.
I just don't know if it'll actually happen. We'll see. Now, I think this will have to be revisited based on what we see for the entirety of camp. So it's either stock down on coach speak or stock down on mixing and matching. So once again, left tackle watch. We've only seen Cortland Ford, even though we've heard that we'll see a lot of mixing and matching on that first team offensive line. We haven't. It's the same five guys. So either the coaches aren't telling us straightforward what's happening, or we soon will see some mixing and matching. And I brought this up on Wednesday's podcast, and I want your guys' opinion on it. Part of me was thinking, are they now looking for the transfer portal? Like, do you know in the back of your mind, okay, we're going to the transfer portal, and Cortland Ford will be our guy battling with whoever comes into the transfer portal? Could that be a thing? Because otherwise, you would want to get Casey Collier some more time, no?
I think this team is going to be always, up until the season, I think they're always going to be looking for some portal help. Because we heard months ago when, you know, it became clear that AVT was leaving. I mean, that was much earlier than the season started. But they were going to look into the portal for some instant impact offensive line help. So I think they're still going to be looking through that. I mean, spring is coming up, so there could be somebody who decides to leave after their respective spring camp for their team. So I think there's going to be another round of opportunity for them to go fishing in the portal. So yeah, I expect them to still kind of shop in the portal for some O-line help.
But I guess my point is, the fact that they're only using Cortland Ford at first team, is that just a, hey, we're using him for half of a camp thing? Or is this a, hey, we know he's our guy unless we get someone in the portal?
If you were seeing mixing matching at other positions and not his, then I think maybe you could draw that conclusion. But I think it's just that they're not mixing up that first group. Now, who's determining that? Is Clay McGuire already decided those are the best five, or does he want such, you know, so many practices to look at that group and decide if they're the best one? We don't really know. We've been told multiple times, yeah, we're going to mix and match, and we haven't seen it yet. So we're still waiting to see if that happens. And if not, then one of Keeley's stock downs will come true. One of them will.
We can revisit.
Nice double down.
Thank you.
My final stock down is one that is Keaton Slovis.
Oh, ooh, I actually was not expecting this from you.
See, I know that people aren't expecting this, and people may even disagree, but he's got to get better. He's throwing way too many interceptions. Now, I know there's the receivers. You're trying to do some different things. It's spring, but there's still too many balls are ending up in the defense's hands. So that's a definite stock down for me. That's something that has been a concern his first two seasons. You know, he did throw, you know, the three interceptions against BYU, and then I think he ended up with 8 or 9 for the year. So you go, that's a little bit of concern. He's throwing a bunch of touchdown passes. Right now, he's not throwing a bunch of touchdown passes in practice. He's throwing more interceptions at this moment. So I think he's... You disagree?
I'm trying to recall. I think that's a little dramatic.
Maybe a little bit dramatic, but there has been a lot of interceptions, and you know, you want your QB1 to be taking care of the ball. That's the most important thing for the quarterback, and that's, you know, if you got to throw the ball, and you know, if you're mad at the offensive line, which maybe I would be, and I would throw it over onto the deck on you know, over at the McKay Center, so someone has to go get the ball, you know, over the fence. Someone go get the ball. I'm so tired of this being chased all over the place, because he is. He's getting chased all over the place, but you got to throw the ball away. You know, you got to punt instead of giving them the ball, the field position at the 50-yard line.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I really think that there's a general underestimating going on how much Keaton has to work on chemistry with the new guys. Because you barely have Drake London there. Brew McCoy's just coming back. Like, it probably looks different if Amon-Ra and Tyler Vaughns are there.
Sure. Keaton Slovis is good enough that he should be able to take 5 walk-ons and not throw the ball to the other team. Even if it's not there, you throw it at the ground or whatever.
Sure. But some of those are like, the walk-ons, like, touching it halfway, it pops up, someone catches it.
There has been a couple of tipped interceptions, yes. Been too many.
Sure.
You guys don't want to be harsh on anybody. That's fine. But
first of all,
your stars have to be stars, and he's not playing like a star at this moment. Now, we still got half a spring. We'll see what he does in the next. And Keaton's a gamer, you know? So we'll see on Saturday when the lights are on and everyone's watching.
What impression is that?
Just a random coach speaking.
It was like, sounded like a clown coach speak.
That's fine.
You sounded like you run a...
Most coach speak is clownish, let's be honest.
Sound like you run a morgue. You look like a creepy...
Ew.
A formaldehyde.
Creepy
smelly. Creep? Yeah, like that. That's the voice I was picturing with that. Who also coaches...
Football.
Yeah.
Naturally.
What a picture. I started off by saying I agree with you, but I added in...
Then you took it too far?
A caveat. Alrighty, well, it's time for Chris Trevino's favorite segment of the podcast.
Da-da-da-da!
Heard it on the sidelines. Chris, do you want to start us off?
Not really, because you kind of already stole mine.
Oh, I did?
Sort of.
Sorry.
Brew McCoy obviously returned to practice on Tuesday, was not in full pads. He still has to go through the acclimation period. But he was running and doing every rep like it was probably his last. He was going hard on everything. And then one of his first like route running drills, he went super hard. And then it got a big ooh from all the other wide receivers in attendance watching him. So looks big, looks fast, looks freaky. That's what you want.
And hopefully that wears off on the other wide receivers. That's what you want to be seeing every rep. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see guys just jogging around, you know, 50% on routes on air. You know, this is the time you're supposed to be trying to get better. And maybe some guys feel like, there's nobody else out here. So why do I need to go as hard? Nobody's going to take my place because there's nobody practicing right now. So to see him come back and he can be the leader of that group along with Drake London, then I think, you know, could be a really big improvement for the wide receivers. Getting him healthy is obviously a big part of that.
I had two Hurdits, one very quickly for that 4-on-4 drill. Tuasivi was picked as the back defender to try and stop the goal line attack, but he was chosen late. And so when his name was called, his helmet was off and the hair, just he flipped it back so majestically and put his helmet on. It was like something out of a sports movie. It was great. If you have hair like that, it comes with some responsibility and some theatrical responsibility. And he definitely provided on Tuesday.
Oh, Chris is hair flipping now. Yeah. Oh, man. You've unleashed a beast over here. Yeah, it's very Troy Polamalu-esque. It was actually more, his hair is a little bit thinner, so it's more Clay Matthews-esque, you know, when he flips his hair back.
What a detail on the hair. His hair is slightly thinner, less fibrous than...
You got to know the flows. Come on now.
The flow man over here.
And I mentioned this on Wednesday's podcast, but hearing Chase Williams during one of the defensive like battles, he was like, take this! Personally, it's Keely Bleep. But he, like, everyone's very vocal. You hear from Jake Jackson, you hear from Isaiah Pulamau, you hear from Chase Williams. And so I think it's fun seeing those guys who, you know, in my mind have kind of been marked as the younger guys. They're not so young anymore, and they're kind of taking over a vocal leadership role this spring.
It's not a bleep because you didn't actually say it.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
She stopped, paused, then said it.
Yeah, I said it.
And it was... No, I have to save my F-bomb for later.
Okay.
I've got a couple of Hurdits. And it starts with the press conferences that we've had. And it starts on Saturday with Clay Helton making another zoological reference, which seems to be his favorite so far. He talked about Casey Collier, called him a baby deer out there, and called him a little Bambi with the way that he was learning to get his footwork down last season. This time he's talking about Jay Toya. You know, he's asked about Jay Toya, the defensive tackle, freshman defensive tackle, 330 pounds, something like that.
That sounds right.
A large fellow. Clay Helton calls him a mountain of a man. Okay, that makes sense.
He says I'm with you.
He has the largest head I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
He says he has the head of an elephant.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, everybody's just kind of looking around the Zoom like, what? Is that what he just said? Like,
hell nah.
He said he has the head of an elephant. So Clay has used a variety of zoological references in the past, but this was a new one. This one kind of stood out because I don't think I've ever heard anyone be referenced as having a head of an elephant. So
I would have paid $100 to have Toya on that call and just to see his like reaction. It would have been like,
thanks for... Really?
Yeah, there was a visual, but I was just visually bidding. And I just want Helton to keep going with these zoological references. I just want him to keep getting weirder and crazier and like, I don't know, like, Sierra Wright. I don't know what accent I was doing. Reminds me of a sea enemy because he's so long and squishy. I don't know. I just want him to keep going. Just keep doing it, Clay. Started with Big Horsey, and now we're here. Now we're here.
With friends like these, who needs an enemies?
There it is.
Boo.
What?
Do we get...
That's a Finding Nemo reference, lady.
Okay, fine. Speaking of... Heard
She's probably
it,
never seen it.
I have seen it, thank you. Speaking of heard it on the sidelines, do we get what you said on the sidelines about that comment?
Does that count as a heard it?
Yeah, because I heard it.
I was just curious if... Do you think opposing players, offensive linemen, will use that against him in the
Jay
trenches?
Toya.
Jay Toya. It's like, your coach said you got an elephant head. Do you think that's going to be used in the trenches? Did Clay just put firepower in the trash-talking tank for offensive linemen?
You had some examples, though.
You want some peanuts?
Circus elephant.
You have a long memory. We'll remember this next play.
I don't have peanuts, but I'll give you this pancake.
Calling him Dumbo and stuff.
Yeah, I was just...
I want to see Jay Toya fly.
But also, I would not want to make Jay Toya mad. That man's...
He is a mountain of a man.
I watched him doing like the running back drills when the defensive... I'm like, I would not want to tackle that. I just... I saw like the students, because they had the student managers like hitting the pads, like, don't hit him too hard.
Don't upset him.
Not the guy to anger here.
Just a little shoulder check, you'd be on the IR.
Gone.
I had a couple of other from the press conferences that I thought were interesting. Quickly, Chris Steele giving his goals. He wants to be a unanimous All-American. I don't know how you guys feel, how attainable that is.
I'm saving it for taking or leaving. Oh. At least.
Okay.
Partially.
I'll start
speaking of another. Now. And he also talked about being a high draft pick. Another high draft pick was Michael Crabtree, which is who Drake London was referenced this week from Seth Daigie. Said that he reminds him of Crabtree when they were at Texas Tech. So that was an interesting one to me. And then the one from the field that I thought was very interesting, I got a better chance to listen to Clay McGuire teaching up the offensive linemen. I thought it was really interesting just seeing the attention to detail, which is always a positive thing when when you're looking at the coaches and what they're doing with players. And just it was hand placement, it was footwork, it was a little bit of everything, which – maybe that's a concern that you're having to teach up some of the basics, but it was also some of the more complex stuff at the same time. But, I just thought it was interesting being able to hear him a little bit more, because on Saturday when I tried to, there was a water polo game, pregame going on, the music was blaring, so I couldn't hear anything. Today, or on Tuesday, excuse me, that you could hear a little bit more and being able to see him working with the players. So just kind of taking an eye and keeping an eye on that offensive line group and seeing how they're developing under Clay McGuire. The offense had its best day on Tuesday, and I think a lot of that came from Clay McGuire's input.
Tuesday was also a day, I noted to you guys after practice, I heard Clay McGuire the most that day. Mm-hmm. It's just something that stood out to me. So coincidentally, that's the best day we've seen from the offense.
Maybe he's finding his rhythm a little bit too.
Maybe, yeah. You never know.
Finding his place on the coaching staff, or when to yell and when not to yell.
Alrighty, before we head into Take It or Leave It, we have a couple questions from our listeners. First up is from AD, who asked, who in your opinion has performed the best at running back in spring to start, and who would back him up?
Gun to my head, Vavai.
Huh.
Your choice or the coach's choice?
No, just my choice.
See, I would take Keyonte Ingram with Vi backing him up.
I think I would go with that too.
But I would also have a package for Brandon Campbell. He's made some plays.
Yeah.
He could be a unique option for them. So, and Stephen Carr is always good on third downs. So,
I would put Campbell slightly ahead of Ingram in my...
Interesting.
I do not agree with his assessment. I'm sorry.
I haven't really seen much out of Ingram.
I think he's great after first contact. Like, I think he provides a different element that USC lost kind of with Marquis Stepp. He's not a Marquis Stepp type of back, but he has a little bit of physicality that I think USC is missing in the other backs.
I think he runs very similar to Vavai.
I'll have to watch on Saturday.
Okay.
He's made you guys miss in open field. He's picking up extra yards after contact. So he's my number one right now.
Vavai.
No.
You just described Vavai's running.
No.
I'm not saying you're picking Vavai. I'm just saying that's Vavai.
Mm-hmm. It's similar. That's why Vavai is my second.
Yes.
But Keon Tinker's
compared him
better.
To Step.
No, I just meant in the fact that he's physical.
They're all physical.
Let's get physical. Physical.
I'm going to watch this more closely. Alrighty, let's go to our next question from Mitchell, who said, USC is well-stocked in wide receivers. Will Drake London, Brew McCoy, and Kyle Ford be USC's top and main starters?
No.
People keep throwing in Kyle Ford, but we got to see him out there. It's very similar to the Solomon Tuliala-Pupu.
Yeah.
When you have multiple injuries, I need to see you practicing full speed, full contact for a week before I'm putting you in any starting lineup.
Yeah, he's not even doing like full game rep cuts.
Yeah, and so, we're not expecting him to do that this spring. Yeah. It's great to see him where he's at so far, that he's out there and being able to do cuts and stuff. But he's, you know, he's got to come back in the fall and then prove himself. So because he's a former five-star guy, I know guys want to anoint him. And, you know, we think he has a ton of potential. But got to see him out on the field and actually doing it before we can throw him in any starting lineup. So Gary Bryant's the guy that's going to be the slot receiver, I think, right now. I think it's Drake London on one side, Brew McCoy on the other, and then Gary Bryant and Katie Nixon kind of mixing in at the slot receiver position. I think there's your top four guys right now. But watch out for Mike Jack. Continues to make some really nice plays.
Mike Jack needs some growth, but you can see it. You can see the ceiling.
Well, yeah, and I think we've seen some flashes from him early, and this is what we see every camp. First-time guys, first few practices, they make some flashes, and you go, ooh, got to keep an eye on that guy. And then it kind of plateaus out a little bit. So he's plateaued out a little bit in the last couple of practices, still making some plays, but not as many wow plays. And I think that's just with the familiarity of the defenders. Now they know your moves a little bit more. Now that's when you start creating those counters. You show your initial move, now can you create the counter off of it? And that's when you become, you know, a more complete player.
Alrighty, Chris, it's time for your signature segment. Take it or leave it. Take it away.
Yeah, this is a last-minute fake real corporate sponsor because we had a fake real corporate sponsor drop out.
Oh my god!
About, I don't know, 20 minutes before you arrived.
It's
very stressful. I had to get on the phones. Keely saw me just trying to go through the emails.
Working
them phones to get somebody. But we got somebody.
It's an exciting
day. And it's a big one, guys. It's a big one. Today's fake real corporate sponsor, a big thank you to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, but with a twist.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of everything kind of works out for a reason, because they are proud to announce their new national expansion right here on Family Feud Podcast. We're getting the exclusive first look.
Wow.
Now, Rent-A-Car is just not about cars. Now with its Rent-A-Coach program for those that need that extra motivation in life. And for you USC fans, you can rent your favorite SC coach to be that life motivator you've always needed. Shotgun, when you park on the third level of the parking garage and you're looking around, your head's in a daze, and you know your car's not there, you can have Craig Nivar screaming at you that you parked on the third floor, you dumb You're misaligned right now. Keely, when you tweet out a breaking piece of info, you can have Vic Soto in the background going, scoop, scoop, scoop. Don't you want Gavin Morris running down the street like a crazy man and posting it all over his IG stories when you get that big promotion at work? Take your life to the next level and leave your competition in the dust with the right push from our Rent-A-Coaches. Rent-A-Coach, you must legally provide your own whistle and hat. Thank you so much to Rent-A-Car and their Rent-A-Coach program. Thank you so much, guys. I'll be sure to get in on that.
Well, what will they do for you?
I mean, you guys can be the deciders of that. What I want, I don't really have anything right now.
Maybe we'll get Soto in the studio when you have to do tunnel vision, and he'll just
that's good.
He'll yell speak at you.
Laps.
Speak.
Run a lap.
Speak or run
this,
laps.
This idea was inspired by Keely telling me to run laps
before
any public appearance.
Get the jitters out.
But with that, let's get into these. USC Hoops got off light with the NCAA punishment.
Take it.
Take it.
I mean, they self-imposed, which definitely helped with all that. But the fact that it's 2 years probation, which it seems like every other program is on some kind of probation, and a small fine is no big deal. The fact they didn't lose any scholarships, and the biggest one is the no postseason ban. So, you know, I think that they'll take that and try to move past it. That's the big thing. And I got a text from a person inside the program asked, you know, is a sigh of relief today, you know, and it was like, we kind of expected that this was going to be the outcome, and that's what we're hoping for. But the fact that it's over, it was just, thank God. That was the response, that it's finally over. They're done with it. They don't have to worry about it. It's not something looking over the shoulder. You know, you've looked at programs like Arizona where they're constantly looking over the shoulder, constantly looking over the shoulder, waiting to see what the NCAA is going to finally do. Kansas in the same situation right now. USC is like, it's done. We're through with it. Let's move on. And now they can fully do that.
Looking down the line, Brew McCoy, Gary Bryant, Drake London, and Michael Trigg is the scariest lineup USC can put out.
This season?
Ooh, yes.
That's a tough question.
I'll take
I only do tough questions.
I'll take it.
Okay.
No one's congratulating me for that.
No, she was in there. She was first.
I'm leaving it because as a former wide receiver, we're putting five wides out there. Give me Mike Jack out there as well.
Okay, but Trigg is
Give me. I'll give Trigg. He can be split out wide, but I want five on the field. And I don't want to run it back. Yeah, no, I don't want a blocking tight end. Give me elite pass catchers.
But to be clear, you're keeping Trigg.
I think he's going to be the special one at that position.
He made it sound like he was taking off
Trigg.
Yeah,
it sounded
like
he's like, lose the tight end.
Yeah.
Even though
he's a jumbo.
He's a Drake London tight end. Okay. Based on camp so far, the defense will be the winners of spring showcase. It's the spring game, the spring showcase, whatever.
Leave it because it's not going to be divided that way. It's Team Cardinal, Team Gold.
Yes, but Bam!
Semantics are important.
Count it.
You can still pick a winning side of the ball.
Team Cardinal. I don't know who Team Cardinal is, but I'm going to pick Team Cardinal.
Fine, I'm going Team Gold. What now, Chris? Ruined your ticket to leave it. He's so mad.
You do that every week. It's fine.
Which one will be more impressive? Yes, the defense.
Chris, I will take that. Defense.
Okay.
It's much easier for them to do that, and they've impressed so far. The majority of the time so far.
Coach Daigie's Michael Crabtree comparison for London is a good one.
I feel like you phoned this one in.
Why?
It's a good one. I don't know. It just sounded like he came up with it last minute.
He's thinking over hard over here. He doesn't know what to do.
I'm not a big comparisons gal.
I think, unless I
make them.
I think Daigie was like, man, I need to get people writing stories after I talk. I'm going to throw this one out there.
Hey. Kudos to him.
Because he just said that apropos of nothing, really. It's like,
I'm going to leave it because I don't know that Crabtree played any inside in the past. Now, I know he's talking about London on the outside, but I think that London just presents such a different element because he can move inside, outside. And I just think his body type's a little bit different. I think you're seeing more of a Mike Evans. That's been probably the most popular comp for Drake London, just with that big body. And Mike Evans was a guy that played outside but played a little bit inside. So that's, I think, a better comp just because body type.
Well, I think he put the context to the comparison as, like, they both played basketball. Their body control is similar and not necessarily, like, their body itself. So I think it was a very specific comparison from Diggy. And it was also a little flex because he was like, you know, me and Graham Harrell are the only ones who really know how to compare Michael Crabtree. So I thought it was funny.
Yeah, that's fine. And I like more specific comparisons like that. I just don't see the same thing. Now, granted, I wasn't around Michael Crabtree. So.
That's what I'm saying. You can't flex.
I'm not trying to flex, lady.
So you're...
That's two lady counts for this podcast. He says that to me off air, but it's made it into the air today.
Did you get a take or leave on that?
I was more like a commenting on Shotgun's comments. No, I was a Neve it? Not... taking or leaving it because I don't really like comparisons.
He's doing the scrunchiest face I've ever seen him.
Unless I've seen, like, if you go like, hey,
it's not the game,
he reminds me of someone that I've personally seen, then I can be like, yes or no, I agree with this. I can't do that with people I haven't actually seen play up close and personal.
Okay, Drake London compares to Drake London.
Yeah,
you like
take
that?
It. I take
okay.
that. I
okay,
really
okay. We'll put on easy mode for you.
We took it off Heisman and put it on
yeah,
practice
we put,
mode.
Let's put the bumpers up on the bowling alley.
Okay, it makes it fun because you can like ricochet
oh,
off the lane.
Oh, yeah, okay. I brought this up to Keely in practice, so I'm excited to hear what she says, but drill hierarchy in practice matters. Like, who's first up on a rep in drills?
So the context to this is that we were watching the running back drills, and Keontae was the last guy up. And so Chris made a remark like, ooh, Keontae's the last one up. And I was like, I don't think that fully matters sometimes. And he was like, oh, I'm a big believer in drill hierarchy.
So we're talking practice?
Yeah.
Not a camp situation? Because camp situations definitely matters. People are cutting line.
No, I know.
You got to pay attention to who's actually going and who's not just standing back in line.
Fun side story of camp.
Yeah. So normally it does. Because you want your most experienced guy to go because you're running through the rep, so you want them to actually get the hands-on, you know, when you're transitioning to a new drill, you want the coach to be able to be hands-on with the guy that's actually going to be playing. Now, after that, not as much. Not after the first guy, it doesn't matter as much.
I think it also just depends on the coach, you know? Like, I think it's a very specific case-by-case basis, and that's why I think you can't say a broad...
No, I'm broad-stroking.
So you're taking it
partially.
You're leaving it
partially.
All right, fair enough. All right, as you mentioned, Chris Steele has a couple of goals, one being 5 picks. I feel like that is high enough to lead the defense. So Chris Steele will lead the defense in picks in 2021.
Shotgun's really mulling over.
Yeah, he's like really going through something over there.
Go ahead, Keely.
So, last year obviously was half a season, but Chris Steele had one.
I think Polamalu actually is the guy that ends up with more.
I'm going to leave it as well.
Though I'm curious where position he ends up playing.
He also said that he wants unanimous All-American honors. Big goal. So, this is kind of a melting pot, but Drake London has a better All-American case than Drake Jackson and Chris Steele.
Or Chris Steele. Or individually. This is a very complex.
Individually. But you get two players to split the odds.
Jack, I'm doing a lot of thinking today. That usually means I'm on to something.
I'm going to take it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take it just because, see, the thing that makes me hesitate is the Drake London, the Drake Jackson part.
Yeah.
Because DBs just don't, you have to really show
up.
You have to.
It'll take more than 5 picks.
Yeah. So that's why I'm leaving it.
17 picks?
92.
That would work.
Yeah.
Okay. Our last one comes from a fan or a Twitter user.
Ooh, fan submission?
And I just want to say
Twitter submission?
I like getting Twitter submissions about take it or leave it. So this is for the people. So the people, this is owned by the people, not me. This is a community thing. So send me your take it or leave it if you want me to grill these two.
You already used your beep.
It's two people. And this comes from B squared at Bert underscore B 1989. That's his username. The number 55 will be given out before we get a new head coach. Take it or leave it.
Leave it.
Leave it.
They've really stalled on the 55.
Mm-hmm. For good reason. There hasn't been an elite linebacker.
Last one was Lamar Dawson, right?
Last one to wear it, yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Last one that could potentially have worn it would probably be Cam Smith with the number of tackles that he made. But
that was always that was like rumored.
It was rumored, and then he stuck with 35 because 35 has its own little bit of history as well.
Yeah.
All right. There you go, B squared.
B squared.
Leaving it. Both of them. All right. Let's get to the fun ones. Just have a couple. Not a very like deep fun one roster, but I'm sure you guys maybe have seen Boston College signed a deal with New Balance to be their like athletic sponsor, like
for like, I did not apparel. See
gear and stuff. Yeah, so New Balance as your school's uniform supplier.
Leave it.
The official dad uniform of the NCAA. I just think of like the New Balance white sneakers with like the jeans.
Those are going to be the cleats. Just put spikes on those.
Nice.
He hates it. Yeah, baby. With the highlighter, you know, the N is all like lit up in the dark. Yeah, baby. Those night games be crisp.
Cool.
So, taking it?
No.
Taking it.
Give me Reebok before that.
New Balance, baby. The NB. All right. The ocean is scarier than the jungle.
Yes.
Take it.
Take it.
No hesitation.
Mm-hmm. I like to see my feet.
Are you one of those my people legs. That you have the fear of like not being able to see the bottom?
I can't see what's with me. Don't like it.
It's simple. The water is scary.
Oh, okay. Newfound fear over here I did not know about.
There's multiple directions you can go when you're in a jungle to try to get away from something. There's nowhere to go when you're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Great point. Those are my fun ones.
There's also like more things you could like climb to get out of the way, or like ditches or something, you know?
Ditches?
Escape routes.
I like how you went
That's exactly what I just said.
I'm building on it.
She's expanding.
First she gave me a wrap it up sign, and then she wants to expand on the same comment
wrap
that I've
it
already
up,
made.
I was but just... also, let me throw this in
I
there
was
for
building
it.
On your great comment, Shock, and that's all.
And that's it for that. But I do have, and one.
And one.
The unofficial ending of the show.
Does that mean we get presents again?
Nope. Does not. Shotgun, I know you are a huge DMX fan. Tragically, we lost the great Darkman X last week. So I'm opening up to the floor. Is there anything you want to say about DMX, who I believe you said one time was your favorite rapper?
He was my favorite rapper growing up. So it's very unfortunate to see him go. It's Dark and Hell is Hot will remain a classic album for all time.
And Keely might be mad because it's like, that has nothing to do with USC. But
it does.
Kerry Colbert.
If you
was
can hear me
singing,
flipping through my notes, I was trying to find it.
Singing X Gonna Give It to You.
He was.
At a Saturday's practice?
Well, that's what I was trying to find.
That was Saturday's practice, so.
Which is off his third album, I believe.
Favorite DMX song?
Rough Riders' Anthem is just so good. I mean, it's his first single, which makes it, you think, oh, there's something else going to come. But it's just so good. There's a couple other like less known ones that I really like, too. But
anything you want to?
I've told you guys before, I don't think on this podcast, but if I have a tough set in the gym, back when gyms were a thing, DMX was my go-to.
You just lift more when DMX is
You
bumped.
Do. You really do, though.
You go harder.
He is mad at me, personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, RIP to DMX. Can we all get one bark? Let's go. One bark. No. I'll go first.
Arr! Arr! What is that?
Show me better. Try to bait him. It's not working. Show me
better. Go for it, Shotty. You have to.
He's laughing too much. He's thinking about those New Balance sneaks on his feet.
I got nothing right now. One of my favorite things about DMX songs was just hearing the ad-libs on the edited versions when they would come on the radio, because there were so many ad-libs that had to be thrown in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's
every,
pretty good.
Every other syllable. But if you listen to the album already, you're like, I know every word here. We're good.
And Keely, your bark?
No.
All right. Don't blame me for trying. I tried.
You tried.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Well done, Chris Trevino. Well, guys, on Saturday, we will see USC in some type of game form. Any final thoughts? What are you expecting, et cetera, et cetera, before we wrap this podcast up?
I'm just excited to see that it's going to be, you know, an actual game format. And hopefully we see some, I think we're going to see some true competition out of it rather than the glorified practice, rather than just, hey, you know, you see one play. I think you're going to see some feistiness. I think you're going to see just the competition between the positions, but also interpositional competitions as well. I think you're going to be pushing each other because you know those reps matter, and especially with the way that guys like Vic Soto have talked about, you know, what you do on the practice field matters, but what you do on Saturdays matters even more. And so this is a Saturday for them. Let's see who actually makes plays when the quote-unquote lights are on and, you know, they set the ball down. Who's going to make some big plays?
Yeah, I want to see who steps up in that game-like atmosphere in the Coliseum and with some fans. I'm excited to see fans see USC football in front of them. So that's what I'm excited to see.
I'm curious to see what this defensive staff does in this type of environment. We personally haven't seen them in a very like game-like, scrimmage-like situation, and to see they're kind of counterculture to what we've seen from Helton and USC football as of late. And so I wonder if they're going to make this actually feel like it is a very competitive environment, because that's what they've been showing so far. And are the reins put on them for Saturday because, you know, it's Pac-12 Network, don't get hurt, et cetera, or is this the true vigor we've seen so far?
Yeah, I think you're still going to see some vanilla. You know, they're not going to bring out the most exotic blitzes or anything. You may see they may actually throw some random offensive plays in there, like some, you know, a reverse or something, a wide receiver pass, something fun that they won't actually have in the playbook during the season. But, you know, every once in a while you do something fun in a spring game. So maybe we'll see something like that too.
Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up. We'll have instant analysis after the spring game, and we'll have tunnel vision, of course. So make sure you stay tuned for those things. But that's going to wrap it up for the Family Feud podcast. That's Shotgun. That's Chris. I'm Keely. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.